In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So they went out and fled the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. It is with that sentence that Mark ends his gospel. Ends it. I know if you look in your Bible, there are some more words that follow, but scholars are almost unanimous that those words were added at a later date by other scribes. They didn't like the way it ended, so they fixed it. But the original ends right there, for they were afraid. What a way to end a gospel, a tale of good news. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And the original Greek is really emphatic about it, using a double negative to drive the point home. Nothing to no one. Now, if you think about it, we know they told someone. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be here, right? Even the author of the gospel knew they told someone. Otherwise, he wouldn't need to have been writing the gospel in the first place. So why did he stop there? That's a good question. And it's a good question to explore on Easter. It may be that there was something important about that sentence, some point that the evangelist felt it was important for us to understand. So let's look a little closer. Do you notice a theme in that sentence? Terror, amazement, afraid. What do they have to do with the good news? Well, in the original Greek text, the words that are used are tromos, ekstasis, and phobio. I love to use Greek every once in a while. It's pretty rare I get to, so bear with me. Tromos is a variation of to tremble, something like to quake with fear. So serious fear there. Phobio is to be alarmed or sometimes in awe of. This is the word translated as sore afraid in the King James Version of the Bible. It's also where we get the English word phobia from. Ekstasis is literally a displacement of the mind or bewilderment. We get our word ecstasy from this word. So what is it about these words that Mark felt were important? To leave them in our mind after finding out about the resurrection. To just kind of leave them there hanging like fruit to be picked. Why would this deliriously good news inspire fear, terror, and amazement? Well, amazement we can understand surely. The stunning shock of the resurrection is a little difficult to take in even today. Okay, let's be frank, it's a lot difficult to take in. It's completely beyond our ability to understand. It's a mystery. I mean, Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, nobody since. So we wonder. Sure, we can say Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, but when it gets right down to brass tacks, the resurrection is one whopper of a fish story. It's hard to believe. And I think we have to admit that. Many of us take church lightly because we don't really believe. We show up every so often because we might believe. Seems like it could be true. You know, just in case there really is something to it. We don't want to, you know, miss the train. And believe it or not, that's okay. Really, it is. I have a friend who says that any reason to come to church is a good reason. And I agree wholeheartedly with him. All right, if you're here going, I don't know, seems fishy to me, I better find out more about it. Good reason. Ask questions. In this church, you can ask questions. And I can give you the answers. I don't know. Let's look it up together. All right? But let's imagine for a moment what it would be really like to believe. To know in your heart beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus of Nazareth actually rose from the dead. What would it be like to have an angel tell you that Jesus is going on ahead of you and will see you soon. If you're like most people, you would turn 180 degrees and go in the other direction. An angel? So what does it feel like? Displacement of the mind doesn't really cut it, does it? It's no wonder these women ran from the tomb. Any normal person would run for all they were worth. That is, if they could convince their feet to move at all. If God can really raise a man from the dead, then what does that mean for me? This God has supreme power over me, over everyone. Could squash me like a bug on a whim. So this is good news? Suddenly, I'm out of control. I don't really run my life anymore. I'm no longer the master of my destiny. I am, in short, in deep trouble. All that I used to feel secure about, the ground of my very existence has shifted. It used to be if I knew that if I worked hard enough, I could accomplish something. Have you ever been in an earthquake? I mean a real one, not one of these little tremblers that we have around here. Although God help us if the big one really lets go down in New Madrid, but that's another story completely. You know what this kind of fear is like. The earth is just not supposed to move like this. To see a wave go through the ground is deeply unsettling, let alone when you feel it. You have nightmares. You don't sleep well for weeks. That's the kind of reaction that we can expect when we suddenly and truly come to believe in the resurrection. When we get that revelation that allows us to believe. When what we imagined and hoped for just a moment ago strikes home and is real for us. The resurrection turns everything we know upside down and gives it a good shake. And I think that is what Mark wanted to warn us about. This isn't just a happy tale. This will change your world. And the first response to this wonderful good news is usually going to be fear, because most of us kind of like the world the way it is. So where do we go from here? There must be more. There is more to the good news than fear, certainly, but until we can get beyond that fear, we can't hear that part. Have you heard the phrase, to put the fear of God into them? I know my mom used to say that when Dad got home, he was going to put the fear of God into you after me and my sisters had done something particularly egregious on that day. It's a way to explain an effort beyond our normal capacity. You see, that's what resurrection does. It puts the fear of God into us. It gives us the power to move beyond ourselves. And truth to tell, that is what happens in any true encounter with God. You gain strength to move the world. But if we can get beyond our fear, we suddenly become aware that not only was Christ resurrected, but he was resurrected for us. And not the safe, anonymous us of the group, but the unsettling each one of us individually. Jesus died and was resurrected for me, for my sins, even the sins I don't tell anybody else about. All of my mistakes and my flaws don't separate me from God. They endear me to God. No matter how messed up I am, God loves me. And then it starts all over again, the fear and the running away. With each new deepening revelation of faith, the ground of our being shakes beneath us. Every time we encounter grace, we respond first with fear. Fear because it makes no sense. And we've been taught to run away from things that we don't understand. So, how do we break this chain? Well, the sad truth is, really, we can't. We are what we were made to be, and that isn't going to change. We will be afraid every time, sometimes more than others, but every time. What is important is that we remember that truth. And we know that that fear isn't the end, it's the beginning of change. When God tries to break into our lives and help us, often we're afraid of the change and reject it. And God will try again, and we will misbelieve and reject again, over and over again. God keeps knocking, and we keep holding the door closed. God will keep trying to embrace us, and we will keep running away, wanting that love and that security desperately, but too afraid to stop running and let it overtake us. It would be comical if it weren't so tragic. As I was watching my neighbor play tag with her three small nieces and nephew the other day, it suddenly hit me. The answer came to me amid the shrieks and giggles of joy that a game of tag engenders. If we could only just remember, maybe, just maybe, the next time we encounter God and the fear rises within us and we take off running for what we think is our lives, why not try and run just a little bit slower? And like a parent chasing a beloved child, God would catch us up, grabbing us from behind and tossing us in the air in a squeal of giggles, and enfolding us in those great arms of love. Now, isn't that an image of grace worthy of Easter? Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.